Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Psalm chapter 4 and then stick your finger in Acts chapter number 3. Would you do that, please? Psalm chapter 4 and then stick your finger in Acts chapter 3. And I've been having a good time. I hope you have. Just going through the Bible and looking at some things that ought to just catch our attention, cause us to stand in awe of the goodness and the grace of God. Lots of times church signs are not even scriptural, but I saw one on my way to church that I liked. It said, "There's more grace in God than there's sin in you." And I believe there's Bible to back that up. The Bible said, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Amen. Thank God for His grace. In Psalm chapter 4, the Bible said in verse 4, "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah." Wonder what would happen if we laid down at night thinking about the goodness of God. Wonder what would happen if we laid down at night meditating on the fact that, Lord, you may come while I'm asleep, but I'm glad I know you. I'm glad that shout will wake me up. Amen. I've had the children in my lap today, one of them. Amelia started running a little bit of fever, and I don't know. I guess it's just hard to explain the love that God puts in our heart, amen, for our families, for our friends, our loved ones. I want you to take your Bible now and turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 3. Let's spend just a few minutes here this evening together. I want to look at a miracle, and then I want to look at a message, and then I want to look at the miracle of miracles, and then I want to look at the men that God used to deliver that. Father in heaven, I thank you tonight for the privilege, Lord, to open the Word of God. Lord, the singing has been absolutely wonderful this evening. Lord, it's good to just come to the house of God and find our God at home. Lord, this is our Father's house. And Lord, we thank you tonight for blessing us again, allowing us the privilege, Lord, to meet with your youngins, our Father. Lord, just to be a little part of the greatest family that's ever walked the face of the earth. The family of God. Now, Father, tonight I pray that you'd stir our hearts together as we look into the Scripture. Help us, our Lord. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. And amen. And amen. The setting tonight, Pentecost has taken place. And the Bible, I believe, teaches us that there were 3,000 people saved on the day of Pentecost. The believers are in one accord. They're continuing steadfastly. In verse number 42 of chapter 2, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And there, the Bible said the fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Just trying to set the setting a little bit tonight. I want to remind you, and I'm fairly certain you already know this, but the Word of God said the Jews require a sign. And God gave them signs. Amen. And the early church got off to a wonderful, wonderful start. What we're going to read about tonight a little bit, I want it to be a blessing in your hearing. But what I want you to see here is when the Bible said here, they fear came upon every soul. There were many wonders and signs. And all that believed were together and had all things common. If you look in verse number 10, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but the Bible said they were filled with wonder and amazement. And the Word of God said, at that which had happened unto him. The Bible said in the verse number 11, that they were greatly wondering. Now, I don't believe it's a stretch tonight to take those phrases and say this. They were standing in awe. There were some jaws dropping that day at what God had done in their presence and in their midst. There's a fear in my heart. I'm not just preaching to you. But I know there's times in my life when these stories in the Word of God are just not as real to me as they ought to be. They don't stir me the way they ought to stir me. We've read it and we've read it and we've heard it and we've heard it. And if we're not careful, we'll get to a place where we no longer stand in awe of what the Word of God is telling us and what the God of the Word is doing in our hearts and in our lives. The Bible said in verse number 1, now Peter and John went up together. I want to tell you this tonight. Listen to me carefully. God likes that word together. He wants us to be together. Amen. The Word of God said over there, it's misquoted so many times that the people will say, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's not what it says. It says, where two or three are gathered together in my name. I've said this for years. We could be, I don't know how far it is to Houston. I don't know. What is it, 1,000, 1,200 miles, something like that? Brother Steve, let's see, 16 hours. I don't know how far it is. I've driven it, but I don't know how far it is. It's down yonder, amen. But I'm going to tell you, there's a man and a woman been in Houston many times, and we wasn't together, but we was together. Amen. But yet you can be in the same room and not be together. You see, it takes the Spirit of God to bring us together, amen? And I tell you, the Word of God teaches about unity, and Jesus prayed for it over and over and over in John chapter 17. So here, I believe one of the reasons God is doing such a great work in the early church is because of that word together. And look at this miracle with me. That's the first thing I want to look at. They went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. We're talking about a man that's never walked a day in his life. And the Word of God said he was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. I thought that was fitting, because what's fixing to happen is beautiful. Amen. Watch this now. To ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So he sat there daily with his cup or whatever it was that he would beg, and people would feel sorry for him, and people would give him some money to help him along the way. And the Bible said, when he saw Peter, who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And the Word of God said, he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Oh, I tell you, he got a whole lot more than he was looking for, didn't he? Amen. And the Word of God said, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. I believe, listen, I don't believe Peter would have said that if it wasn't the truth. I believe everything that Peter had been given into the treasury, that he was just walking by faith, amen, walking with God, going to pray. That's this early church, listen to me carefully, they were looking for Jesus to come, not any day, they were looking for him to come any minute. Amen. The things of this world didn't mean a thing to them. Amen. They put it in a pot and said, we got something to eat, got clothes on our back. We got all we need. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. The Word of God said, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Word of God said, he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up. Can I say this to Christians tonight? God wants you and I in this world as long as we can and as much as we can to take somebody by the hand and lift them up. There's a whole lot of people, Brother Gary, on the bottom, and they're down. Amen. Need somebody to care, somebody to love them, somebody to take a little bit of time. The Word of God said He lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. You say, preacher, you really believe that he did that? I know he did. He had never walked a day in his life. And beloved, God had given him some legs and he was putting them to good use. Amen. He's going to be leaping and praising God in the temple. And the Bible said, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. I thought about when I read that about Paul and Silas when they were down there in the jail that night at midnight. And what were they doing? They were praying and singing and praising God. Amen. And the Word of God said here all the people saw him. I believe that's the reason prisoners didn't run. I believe there was already something going on in their heart. They said, these old boys got something we need to find out about. When the doors flew open, they just stayed right there. And the jailer got saved. And I want to believe in my heart, Brother Larry, that somebody else got saved that night. I know the jailer got saved and all of his. But you can't tell me, just like when Paul held the garments of those that stoned Stephen, that God didn't begin a work in those prisoners' hearts and lives that night. Here, God is beginning a work. You say, preacher, what do you mean beginning the work? I'll show you in a minute. You stay with me a few minutes. I'll show you. The Bible said here, all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. You know something, Sister Tanita? We never need to lose the wonder and the amazement of knowing that our name is in the book of life. Knowing that if we go out here somewhere, I mean, the deer running crazy tonight. Miss E said, maybe I need to wait a little while to get my car fixed. She done run into one. They just keep running out in front of us. She said, maybe I need to wait a little bit. Brother Jimmy's trying to get me locked up. He said, just shoot them. You can't do that when it ain't season. That ain't what the Bible meant when it said be in season, be instant in season, out of season. Amen. You'll be instantly in jail. Amen. But here the Word of God said they were filled with wonder, filled with amazement. We may not get home tonight, but if I don't get home, I'll get home. I said, if I don't get home, I'll get home. Amen. This world's not my home anyway. Amen. Praise God. The Bible said, and as the lame man which was healed, he held Peter and John. All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. I believe they were standing in awe, don't you? Now watch this. God, they went to pray. That's what they went to do, was to pray. Ain't that right? Ain't that what we read? But what's going to happen is this. They went with one thing in mind, but God had something else in mind. Peter's going to see an opportunity to preach. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at it here in verse number 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. He said, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Watch what he said. He's standing there in the porch. Why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? You know what I thought about when I read that? I thought about the modern day televangelist. You know what they want people looking at? Them. You know what Peter and John wanted people looking at? Him. He's the one that did the work. What are you looking at us for? It's not our holiness. It's His grace. Not our power. It's His power. The Bible said the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His Son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. You say, preacher, what are you looking at now? We see the miracle turns into a message. You say, preacher, what is it? Well, let me give you a couple things real quickly. It's a message of the resurrection. The Bible said here, he raised him from the dead, whereof we are witnesses in verse number 15. It's a message of repentance. Look in verse number 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Let me say something about the message tonight. It's never changed. Jesus died on an old rugged cross. Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, by which also are you saved, if you keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain, how that Christ died for our sin according to Scripture, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to Scripture. Thank God Almighty, it might be a modern time, but it's an old message that's still getting the job done. Amen. The Word of God teaches us Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Look at it in verse 26. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him. Look at that. What he sent him for. Brother John, you preached on that or taught on that in Sunday school. He sent him to bless you. That's why he come down here. Amen. He wanted, you say, preacher, I thought he'd come to save me. Well, how many knows that's a blessing? Amen. It's a blessing to be saved, but listen. I got a whole lot more than just being saved when he saved me. Amen. I got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I got someone I could lean on. I got the comforter to live inside of me. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. I say this tonight, and I mean this humbly. Listen, God's people can get tripped up. They really can. David got tripped up. Samson got tripped up. You can be tripped up as God's people. But it's one thing to trip and fall in a mud puddle. It's another thing to waller in it. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, this Bible teaches if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. A person that just wallowing continually in sin is fooling themselves. Amen. It cannot be according to the Word of God. The Bible said here, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Now I want you to see this tonight about the message. Not only is it a message of redemption and a message where Jesus was raised, a message of the resurrection, a message of repentance. But I want you to see this tonight. It's a message that grieves the enemy. The Word of God said in verse number 1, he spake as they spake unto the people, the priest, the same crowd that give Jesus them problems, the religious crowd, the priest, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees came upon them. Why? Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. I want to say this to you tonight. If you think everybody likes this message, you need to think again. This same message that grieved a religious crowd then grieves the religious crowd today. Amen. A message. What was it you said, that fellow you worked with, Brother John, when you mentioned being born again? He had no idea what you were talking about. You know, saved. No idea what you were talking about. Steeped in religion with no relationship. Oh, God, I tell you what break my heart. I believe more than anything in this world is to find out that somebody from these pews was deceived and thought they could get to heaven without Jesus. Break my heart tonight without being born again. Oh, beloved, there's a miracle. There's a message. Look, when we look at the message tonight, I want you to look down with me, please, at verse number 12 of chapter 4. Here's where your pastor stands tonight. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I've been told over and over and over in these over 30 years in the ministry, I've been told you're narrow-minded. Oh, how we need to stay there, just as narrow as this book. There's only one way to heaven, and Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So I see the miracle. I see the message. But I want you to look at the miracle of miracles. I could read through this first part here, and I could miss something if I wasn't careful in chapter number 3. I could say, man, look what God did for that man. Look at that. He's been lame. I mean, Brother Steve, you're not lame. You haven't been lame the way he had, but just having one leg all messed up to where you can't do what you want to do. I don't know how many times Brother Steve has made reference to the leather prison. Being stuck in the recliner. I think Sister Cindy a time or two took his keys away. Amen. She didn't want him to get hurt. Amen. Here's a man that had been in that prison of lameness all of his life. But I'm going to tell you something, Brother David. God always thinking bigger than what pastor's thinking. God's not just thinking about one man and his legs. How about this, young? I'm going to show you this in a minute. God's thinking about 5,000 sinners. That because one man preached one message is going to get saved by the grace of God. Watch this now. The Bible said here, being grieved that they taught the people in verse 2, preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them, and they put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Look at this word, howbeit. Oh boy. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word, Bible didn't say all of them, very few do all of them believe, very few times do all of them believe, but the word of God said, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number, listen to this, of the, what's that next word? What's that tell us? There was probably a whole lot more got saved than 5,000. There was 5,000 men that believed. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the miracle of miracles. Yes, it was a miracle when one man could walk that had never walked in his life. But the miracle of miracles is that 5,000 men are going to be able to walk on streets of gold. Because of the gospel message that they heard and believed. Sometimes, beloved, they laid hands on them. They put them in hold until the next day. Sometimes we have no idea what God's doing. But what we need to never forget, please don't ever forget God's doing. We don't have to know what God's doing to know God's doing. He's doing something. He's doing something. I want you to see tonight the men in closing. We saw a miracle. We saw the message. We saw the miracle of miracles. There's a song, if some of y'all know it and would like to sing it or would like to learn it, I love hearing it. The greatest of all miracles is when Jesus saved me. And I know what Jesus did for me. You remember that song? It's a blessing. That is the greatest of all miracles. Now, I want you to drop down with me to verse number 13 and see the men. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived, they didn't have the education of the Pharisees. You see, Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Paul had a great education. Sat at the feet, I believe the Bible said, of Gamaliel. He had a wonderful education. I'm making a point tonight. God can use a man that has a wonderful education. But God can also use the man that doesn't have that education. The Bible said they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men. Fishermen! That God said, when I get done with you, you're going to be reeling in something besides bass and bluegill. Brother Jim Hagee was telling me the other day, he's down in Knoxville again helping Mandy. Looking forward to going to Florida and catching those. Now, here's where you tell on your education. Educated fellers will say crappie. Country boys will say crappie. Going crappie fishing, amen. He told me the other day, well, I'll remember his name in a minute, Brother Gary. He told me the other day, brother, that his buddy down there, it was taking them 2 whole hours to put 50 keepers in the boat. Bless her heart. Amen. God's going to take these fishermen and make fishers of men out of them. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say it doesn't matter about our education. Doesn't matter about our wealth. If we know Him, God can use us. God can use us. The Word of God said, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. Here's somebody else standing in awe, Brother Steve. Marveled. I had a man tell me this one time, and listen, I'm not going to say any names, but he told me this. He told me this to my face. He said, I've talked to my wife, and he said, we both are amazed at what you preach with no more education than you've got. That's what he said. He paid me some other compliments, too, that I won't go into. But that's all right, amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. If the Spirit of God will get a hold of a man, he ain't looking for his PhD or DDD or all them other D's. He's looking just like he was when he was looking for a king this morning. He's looking at his heart. He's looking for a man saying, God, I can't do this without you. I don't want to do this. He's looking for a man to say, God, I don't know what my people need, but God, you know what they need. That's what he's looking for. That's what he's looking for. Beloved, tonight, stand in awe and sin not. The Word of God, beloved, has a message that needs to be gotten out of the barn, out of the church house. The Word of God said, I believe it was over there, might have been Habakkuk, and it might not have been. I believe it was in one of the minor prophets. It asked the question, is the seed yet in the barn? God wants us to get the seed out of the barn, out into the field. That's where it brings forth fruit. I want us to understand tonight that God wants us to stand in awe of the miracle. God wants us to stand in awe of the message. God wants us to stand in awe of the miracle of miracles, having our name, Sister Tanita, written in God's book. And God wants us to stand in awe. There may not be many people that know this, but I promise you I know this. I'm the last man on the planet that ought to be standing in a place like this, preaching a book like this. But God. But God. Amen. God wants to use you this week. Let Him use you. Be sensitive to Him. Let Him speak to your heart. He used John. He used Peter. And He'll use you. And He'll use me if we'll let Him. How many's glad you come tonight? How many's glad you stayed? And that's real good. Amen. I appreciate that. Amen. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming.